Welcome to the Owner to Owner podcast with your host, Jesse Tyler, part of the EO Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Owner to Owner podcast. This is Jesse Tyler, your host. This podcast with employee owner voices grew out of a friendship with Brett Kiesling, who has for years been doing the amplification of employee ownership through the EO Podcast Network. Focus of the Owner to Owner podcast is hearing the daily voices. Really, the goal is I try not to talk a whole lot because it's the voices for you, the listeners of our guests. So what I want to do is jump right in with Shane, have him introduce himself and his company, and then we'll hear from Matt and Justin and go from there. So Shane, who are you? What do you do and where do you work?
Sure. Hi, I'm Shane Cochran. I serve as a business developer here at Systems Engineering. And the primary role as a business developer is meeting with our prospective clients, walking them through the journey of becoming a client of Systems Engineering, and more or less play a role in account management to an extent during a client's, I would say, 1 to 2 years of onboarding with our company as a client. That's where? Great. So that's a pretty interesting question. I was hired about 7 years ago at Systems Engineering as we expanded territory. So I've been working in the industry of IT services for about a decade. And Systems Engineering, we were on a path to grow as an organization. And I was more or less brought on to help facilitate growth in New Hampshire. So headquarters for us is in Portland, Maine. And, you know, a beautiful New England town or city, I should say. And you know, very similar. Manchester is very similar to Portland in terms of demographics, businesses, and it just happened to be, you know, a great fit at the time and haven't looked back.
That's great. That's great. Yeah, I appreciate it. It's fun to have the guests share more. I can certainly talk about your company and all those other things. It's just you're a lot more interesting than I am. So that was a great, great rolling start. You made it easy for Matt to come in next. Matt, who are you and what do you do? What's your role?
Yeah, thanks for having us today, Jesse. We're really excited to talk about employee ownership and a little bit about Systems Engineering as well. So as you said, my name is Matt McGrath. I've been here at Systems Engineering for 10 years. I just passed my 10-year anniversary. I'm the president and CEO. What do I do on a daily basis? That's a great question. I think, you know, one of the things that's really important to us as a company, Shane said we are a growth-oriented company, and that's absolutely true. And really, as much as anything, what I'm looking for is to build a company that's going to outlast all of us here in our 10 years and that will continue to deliver for the community and the employee owners long after we're gone. That's really, you know, I would say if you had to encapsulate all of what I do on a daily basis, it all really ties back up to that. And certainly I feel, you know, a massive sense of responsibility and I'm honored to be, first of all, part of this organization, but certainly in this role and being able to work with all of these employee owners. And, you know, as I was listening to the podcasts, some of your other episodes prior to coming on, you know, the other thing that I think you sometimes take for granted when you're in this community is just how strong that ESOP community is. And you don't know it when you get into it. You don't know that there's going to be this whole other layer of support from other businesses and the community at large. So it's great to be here today talking about this. It was great to listen to those other stories. And certainly ours, I think, fits in pretty well with some of the other ones you've had on.
That's great. I appreciate it. Yeah, I'm excited to have Systems Engineering. And I was just doing a training about ownership right before recording. And you know, the number one in category of businesses for NCO is the professional services, the things like you're doing. And we're the number two at Hypertherm Associates, where I work, which is a manufacturer, 2,000 associates strong. So slightly bigger ESOP than you guys are. So we have, you know, 2,000 globally, and we have a global stock value program. So we have even all owners globally. We're one of the first companies to initiate a program like that. But just to bring us back to the NCO, is just looking at the professional services, manufacturers, and then it goes down from there. So it's fun to have that and to hear the voices. You have a huge impact. You're an integral partner for your customers. And so it's a lot of fun to hear a little bit more. And to your comment about the getting a sense of what you're part of in employee ownership, it's very interesting to watch new employee owners start to interact with other ESOPs, other employee-owned companies, and the amount of open source support is our country would be served well if more businesses could work together the way employee-owned companies do. So Justin, it's easy when people introduce themselves to say, hi, I'm so-and-so, and this is my role. And we often, I believe, are left in wonder of what people actually do. The title of the role doesn't always tie into the work. So Justin, who are you and what do you do for systems engineering?
Okay, so I'll answer that question in maybe an unorthodox way. And I started at systems engineering in 2002. So that was before it became an ESOP. And I started as a field engineer. But the truth is, I was a technician, not an engineer. And I found myself surrounded by servers in a server room. And I thought, this is really not the work that I want to be doing. I love working with technology, but I want to be working with people. I want to be communicating with people. So systems engineering has or had at the time what we called account managers. And account manager responsible for dealing with clients, understanding technology, understanding clients' needs, understanding what solutions we have to meet those needs. So I began the transition from a technical person to an account manager when I was 4 years into my career at systems engineering. So what I do on a daily basis is I'm interfacing with customers. I am explaining technology to customers. I'm trying to break it down into bite-sized pieces for them to understand. That's a good, at least half of my job. And then the other half of my job is working with our internal resources to get them to understand what the customers are asking for.
That's great. I like the pun with the bite-sized pieces. That's well done. Well played. That's great. Now, have any of the three of you worked before at a company that was employee-owned? Was that a new adventure? Okay, that's what I was thinking.
Certainly a new adventure, yeah.
Yeah, that's great. So Justin, when we are hearing about Matt and Shane adjusting to the employee ownership adventure and very different daily work experience, it'd be fun to hear some insights from 2002 forward of before the days of ownership and after, what's different and what's the same. So I'll get you thinking about that and I'll come back around and ask you about that in a little bit. So I want to ask some of the questions that listeners are used to. I like to kind of start with, how do you talk about employee ownership? And the context for this, if it helps the three of you, is we hire a lot of people in a year. We're a big company, we're a manufacturer. It's somewhere between 150 and 200 people a year. And we do an intensive onboarding program for all of them. The 4-hour morning, their first day, we call launch day, and then a 2-day or in-person or a 12-hour online for global and remote. Mission, culture, values, all of that. And I see it taking 3-ish years, sometimes 3 to 5 years, for people to really get their hands around this employee ownership thing, both wealth building towards the retirement benefit, but also the culture and the way of working. So the questions I ask on the podcast are very specific to kind of my own experience talking to thousands of people between my job and speaking at conferences and now doing the podcast. So I'm always curious, how do you talk to folks? You're out in the community, you're at the hardware store and they see your systems engineering logo and they're like, hey, your own, what is the deal? If I can borrow from Jerry Seinfeld, what is the deal with this ownership thing? What is the deal? So when you talk to people that don't know anything about ownership, Shane, starting with you and then we'll go to Matt, how do you talk about it?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's pretty unique in our purview in delivering IT managed services. And, you know, our company, the heart of our, I would say, exceptional service lies in our employee-owned culture. Every team member is not just an employee, but an owner, right? So it instills a sense of pride, accountability, and dedication to the success of not only systems engineering, but the outcomes that we more or less bring to our clients. So it's an ownership mindset, right, that fuels a collaborative atmosphere where each individual's expertise is valued. I mean, they foster innovation. We problem solve. I mean, our employees aren't just working for a paycheck, right? They're working to contribute to shared success of the company, systems engineering, and our clients. So that's typically the message where I'm trying to spread, not only to, you know, friends, family, but on a day-to-day, the folks who I interact with, right? Helping them understand
what systems engineering is, maybe in some cases, what's our differentiator, you know, in terms of our go-to-market strategy, what, how we are different, why we're different, right? And employee ownership is really the sole focus, I think.
That's great. Thanks for that. Matt, you want to follow on?
Yeah, it's a really interesting topic, I think, because I think, you know, everyone makes assumptions when they hear this term employee owned. You know, it's not uncommon for people to say, so do I get a vote on everything? Can I vote on what color blinds we have and how much we spend on ice cream? And no, obviously mechanically that you could run your company that way. It's not how most ESOPs are run. I think, you know, one of the best explanations I've heard is really, first of all, to separate two things. One is the plan itself, you know, which is really a 401k that you don't, that's tied to one, the performance of one company that you don't contribute to in a dollar for dollar kind of way. And I think it's helpful to talk about the plan itself and the mechanics. Okay, that's what that is. But separately, and I think the thing, once you've been in an ESOP for a period of time, and by the way, I would totally agree with that 2 to 5 year time frame as at some point it kicks in. I think inevitably for us, by the time you're on the stage putting on your vest, you know, to show that you're vested, it usually hits by then. But we've certainly seen in some of our survey results internally that 2 to 5 year period is, it wouldn't go so far as to say it's the trough of disillusionment necessarily, but it definitely is a time where people are saying, hold on, you know, I'm not seeing it yet. I'm not seeing the love. And of course, there is that you get over the hump and things start to materialize. You start to see the financial side of it as well. So I think it is helpful to separate those two things mechanically. What is the plan? But also for any of us who have been part of one of these companies for a long time, what you really want to talk about is the experience. You want to talk about the fact that this is so different than anything else I've really experienced in my work life. I look at it as I was part of a publicly traded company for 15 years before I came here. And the things we said aspirationally about how we wanted life to be for the employees and on a daily basis, what you know, how you go about your work and what your peers are invested in. Aspirationally, we talked about a life that I find pretty common in the ESOP community, one where people really are motivated by the culture, by each other, by their own ownership, by these really kind of deeper motivations. And I think a lot of that goes back to how you recruit, right? Because for some people, that sort of long-term benefit and that culture play may not be as important or relevant as it is for some other people who sort of naturally think longer term or who are naturally maybe more team-based. But I think, you know, in terms of how you drive that understanding for people who don't get to participate in these companies, I do think it's helpful to talk about those two things, even though for us, we always want to get right to the heart part of it, you know, the emotional part. Right. What's really cool is that you're working with people that really care and you can count on them caring, and you can count that when things get hard, they're going to be there right beside you because they're invested like you're invested. So that's generally how I talk about it.
That's great. And great. And we talk about this more after hear Justin's perspective, because it's a very interesting thing where, you know, again, after years of talking to literally thousands of people about it, it can be, you know, the new hires are welcomed by a bunch of bright, excited people that might have been the first time in their work experience they've ever had that happen. That can be, I want to say frightening, but it can be a little unusual, you know, if you've not had that experience. And then when it comes to the plan, I think our listeners are going to really appreciate how you're talking about it. It was like a 401k, but you're not putting the dollars in, or to paraphrase a little bit, and that the tendency seems to be, I think it's changing in ESOPs, tendency seems to be, let's give way too many new words and thoughts and guidance about this financial vehicle to a 27-year-old who doesn't know why their new employer is talking about them being 65 or 67. They just got here. You know, I'm trying to be lighthearted about it, but it's like, we don't go into a 401k minutia when somebody's new. Why would we go into that? But then when it comes to the heart, you know, that can come with what's in the best interest of our shared company. There can be heart, but there can also be some jabs and some pushing sometimes too, if you guys are willing to talk about it, where what's the best thing for the customer? And if you're potentially at a publicly traded company, that's might not be language you've heard too many times. And then you walk into that as a way of working. It takes a little getting used to. So fun stuff to go back to. Justin, how do you talk to folks that are not employee owners about ownership? They warmed it up for you. What do you want to add?
Well, I'm sorry, I need to think for a minute here. Maybe we need to rewind this. I was thinking about when I found out that systems engineering was going to become an ESOP, because I worked for systems engineering for 4 or 5 years before it became an ESOP. And the founder of the company is this guy named Harry. And, you know, in some ways, it would be unfair to say it was all about Harry, but he was a very strong leader, and Harry was the owner of the company. And then one day somebody said, you know, did you hear the great news? Systems engineering is going to become an ESOP. And I thought, wow, that's great. But what does it mean? And it took a long time for it to sink in. Like, wait a minute, we're going to own the company? Yeah, we're going to own the company. We're going to sell the company. Harry's going to sell the company to us. Okay, well, where are we going to get the money? Oh, we're going to borrow the money to, okay. Oh, and there's going to be a trustee. Oh, okay. So there's a trustee who's going to borrow the money, going to give the money to Harry. Well, Harry's not going to get all the money at one time, and we're going to pay off Harry. It's like, wow, this is pretty complicated stuff. I guess I'm just going to go back and do my job for a while. I'm going to trust that it's an exciting thing, even though I have really no idea what it means. But at the end of the year, when we got our ESOP statements and we got our first company valuation, then it became real. And the company, we've got 1 million shares. We've developed 1 million shares out of thin air. And these shares have a value. And we're going to dole some shares out. And this is what you get in year one. And it was like, well, that's pretty cool. I was 30, I don't know how old I was, but I was not as old as I am now. And I could see that separate account, separate from my 401k account. And then I was fortunate enough to see those balances increase over the years. And then it really became real. And I noticed that the culture changed from thinking about Harry, thinking about what Harry decides. And what has emerged over the years is culturally, there are moments when I see teamwork on display and I'm really astonished. Like, wow, that's pretty special to see 6 or 7 people working on a thorny problem in a way that demonstrates a lot of selfless and a lot of belief in the teamwork. And I think that's about the ESOP. And to answer your question, Jesse, in my very long-winded way, in terms of how do I explain it to people outside of the company, I often will compare it to where there's a single shareholder or a partnership company, where those are the individuals getting the financial resources. And at an ESOP, at our ESOP, we're the ones who own the company. We're the ones who are invested. We're the ones who are benefiting. And that will really contribute to hard work and pulling on an oar.
That's great. I appreciate that. Yeah, it's interesting to have, I've only had a few guests over, you know, probably 50 episodes where they've experienced the transition. There's been a lot of mature ESOPs, or there's some, you know, very new ones where they're still getting their hands around it. They just talked to some guests recently with that. So I want to jump ahead a little bit on the question, a follow-up question for you, Justin. Do you feel that working at systems engineering is significantly different after you started to understand the ESOP and the ownership? Does it sort of, I'm poking at foundational values. Does it feel kind of similar? Or did you feel that there was this sudden behavior change when everyone started to understand the ESOP?
It was not a sudden behavioral change. It has been gradual. And we've been in ESOP for a long time now. And those small changes have added up to big changes. And we are fundamentally a different company than we were before we were in ESOP. But there's a lot of those cultural things that were established when the company was established that maintain to this day. And specifically, I would say that we enjoy a reputation in the marketplace of really being the best at what we do from a technical standpoint, and that our engineering is really top notch. And that part has stayed the same. I think how we work together has changed a lot. And there are times when our distributed model of decision making drives me crazy sometimes. You know, like, does everybody have a voice in this particular problem? And yeah. Oftentimes the answer to that is, well, yes. And we go to great lengths to hear from everybody. And that's a tangible example of the ownership that people do really matter, and people can make individual changes. The culture is such that if you're a strong swimmer, you know, you're going to be rewarded for being a strong swimmer. And there's room for people to assert themselves. And that's different. I think people feel empowered to share their opinions.
That's great. Matt, what's on your mind?
Yeah, just if I could just give a tangible example of what Justin just talked about is, you know, like many places, many organizations, we've been wrestling with the kind of return to work formula. You know, what are we going to be looking for out of ourselves and our coworkers as we come out of the pandemic, and not uncommon, right? And so I would just describe the kind of path we took, where initially it was not a very ESOP-ish path. We sort of said, well, it seems like this is the right answer. You know, we made it in a small room with relatively small number of people, made that decision, and we went forward with it and immediately got feedback that said, hold on, have you thought this through? Mm. And, you know, I would just describe that whole life cycle as one that, first of all, was awesome to be a part of and very humbling. But what we ended up doing was saying, hold on, let's hear the feedback. This is a discussion. This is not a decision. And if we're going to be honest with ourselves and live the values that we talk about, that we are actual owners, we're all owners, and we all do get a voice, not in everything, but in many things, then let's listen to what people have to say. And I would say that the end result in terms of a policy was one that was really crafted by the people who raised very good points. And for me, as you know, it also gave us a great opportunity to get closer to the people who are giving the feedback, to hear what their thoughts were. It definitely enlightened us to a lot of details that we hadn't been thinking of. And I can just tell you that in outside of this company, in my prior experiences, that's a decide and announce and move on kind of situation. Yeah. And deal with the fallout later. But just, it was a great example of, yeah, this is massively impactful to people's lives. I tell them every day they're the owners. They should have a voice in how this goes. And I, you know, from where I sit, I think we came out with a much better outcome, and one that people, I think, feel like they were a part of. So just as an example, I think that's one of the examples of what Justin's talking about, where, yeah, we need to understand as what works for us as a group, because we all are owners. And if we're going to say we are, then in important moments like that, we got to live like we are also.
Yeah, that's great. I appreciate that. And Shane, I'll come to you next in just a second for your thoughts on this discussion so far. I think, you know, there's a risk in ownership that I was using this recently with something like, what do you mean nobody fed the dog? We all own it. How is it possible that nobody fed the dog? There can be that risk with things. Conversely, and I haven't looked it up to make sure I'm making the right cultural reference, but like 20 years ago, there was a Kevin Costner movie, Field of Dreams. And I think his line was, you know, if you build it, they will come. And the difference with ownership is if they build it, which I'm hearing in you, Matt, in talking about the return to work, if people see that they put their fingerprints on it, if they see that they were included in decision making, it's remarkable what you can do after for velocity and customer care and having your company function well. It's like there's that interesting, you know, pull and balance of what is ownership and what it isn't. You know, what is it not? You all have specific roles and you have to deliver on those. But a whole bunch of people at a non-ESOP are going to have the right, and you're going to have the expectation that they give you their opinion on some of those things. And I see that as, you know, on a lot of people. That little nuance can be particularly interesting for Matt and your level, you know, the leader of the company. It can be a little bit, maybe not used to having somebody come out of the stockroom and say, what about this? What about that? We got to change it. That's not always a common thing. But as people get acclimated, it can also be an absolutely beautiful element with great customer results. Shane, what are your thoughts on Justin and Matt's topic so far with these?
Well, I can tell you, I think our company does a phenomenal job of just listening, but also, you know, I think it's the culture that allows, I mean, we receive clear communication and it's always open to feedback, always open. It's a two-way communication, I guess is the way to put it, right? The organization does a phenomenal job of just making sure everyone is aware that you are an owner. I want to say it was a few years ago, Matt, where we were working on our mission, vision, values statements, right? Which typically you would expect from a, you know, private organization to really start at the executive suite and maybe involve HR and probably an outside third party, right? To more or less craft a message. What do we think it really is? For systems engineering, this was, Matt, I don't know if you want to talk about how collaborative it was. It really took into account all departments, all people. And it was very much like an extensive, long-term vision setting. And I just, you know, experiencing that for the first time at an organization where, again, the communication was open. It was where it was going both ways. And it really led to what I think is, you know, just a successful outcome.
Do you want to share any thoughts, Matt, on that process?
I guess I would just say that, you know, I think one of the things, thinking about my role, I think it's easy to fall into the trap of feeling like you have to, like all big decisions have to come from you or all guidance has to come from you. And I think, and it can be confusing, candidly, like what times do I step forward and just say, yep, I'm making this call in this kind of setting. But I'll tell you, my experience is that every time that we involve people in important, impactful changes, whether it's mission, vision, values, whether it's the return to work, these are things that really impact their life and how they relate to their job and all those things. I'm not going to come out with the right answer on those things. You know, that has to come from the people. And, you know, over and over again, I think if we allow ourselves in leadership roles to sort of get out of the way a little bit and allow the people who really understand best to be a really core product or a core part of producing this, you're going to have a better outcome. And to your earlier point, I think you've also got people at that point who are invested and believe that and feel like they're part of what's happening. And obviously a fundamental difference than just to decide and announce. But look, I think every executive should have to live in an ESOP because it really goes a long way towards, I think, right-sizing your mindset around the unbelievable value of getting feedback, true, honest feedback from the people who are most impacted by any of the decisions you're going to make.
Yeah, that's great. When I work on leadership programs, leadership development here, I think some of the things about really healthy leadership are copy and paste under the column of a healthy ownership culture. And I think of, you know, for any of you leading projects, not just putting it on Matt at his level, you know, it's more common at a healthy ESOP to be like, okay, I understand where you're coming from, but I'm accountable for this and I need us to move forward. When we leave this room after this exchange, we need to be aligned. Can you do that for me? You impacted the final decision. I'm not doing exactly what you wanted. I want you to feel heard and listened genuinely. I'm not just, these aren't platitudes. You got to keep challenging me appropriately the way you just did. But when we go forward, we got to go and we got to take care of the customer. You know, something along those lines. And so it's fun because when you're talking about ownership culture, what is culture? It's a fragile daily moment experience. And that's why it's so vexing on how to define it, which makes it a lot of fun on the podcast and the conferences because no one's quite got it. I think, you know, in getting to know Shane in a prior conversation we've had, systems engineering, I admire how far you've taken it. So even if you have on the higher end of, you know, of healthy collaborative cultures, now you have more to lose. You have to tend it. You have to let it grow, let it change. When Justin was talking about earlier, asking him about, you know, sort of foundational values and is the company different? Is his work experience different? It sounds like the foundational values have carried you over many, many years. But there's also one little thing we didn't get to with Justin, and that is it the same company? Really, is it the same company than when those early 4 or 5 days before? I'm not trying to give you a trick question. Let me rephrase that. Let me be more fair. I am hopeful that it's not the same company as 2002. You can have people at an ESOP. They can really like it. They can really love it. And the companies have to keep reinventing themselves. Ideally, the strong backbone or the foundational values. But if you aren't reinventing yourselves and letting some things go that you're fond of or used to, the ultimate is you'll probably close and fail. And so there's that also that tussle between how do you bring the values and some of those founding experiences forward, but have customers that need you to be something different. It's always it's a lot of fun to play with. I want to do a quick check-in. Since we talked about Justin's experience, heard from him on kind of the leap into ownership. Shane, I'll ask you, when you spend time with your family and friends, what do you think is different for them when you talk about work now that you're at a successful ESOP versus when they knew you before you were at a successful ESOP? Do you see where I'm going? I'm trying to walk you into it.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's funny. This is I have a story to tell with this one. You know, I want to say, are being in Down East Magazine a few years ago exposed my family to systems engineering. My mom's been like a long time subscriber to Down East Magazine, just loves Maine. Anyhow, but when systems engineering among other Maine ESOPs were featured, I mean, boy, oh boy, did the text messages through the family just go zerk. So it's often now a question every time we meet as a family, in which we'll be meeting this weekend to celebrate a wedding, but everyone knows about systems engineering now. You know, they had the link, they read about us, and I can't tell you how proud my family is of me to find an organization like systems engineering. I think we're probably all aware a lot of folks now, unfortunately, are just career jumping, right? And the path to a career now isn't what it once was. I don't feel like systems engineering isn't that. You know, systems engineering, you do find a career, you find your family, your extended family, right? And it becomes so easy to really just discuss openly with friends of how rewarding this job is, right? And this career is, this company is, it's amazing. So I guess backwards way to tell you about how I speak about SDE to friends and family, but Down East Magazine certainly helped.
Yeah, that's great. I appreciate you sharing that. That's a great magazine too for Maine lovers. So I can imagine you heard far and wide, and that's a neat accomplishment. I'm glad your company and other ESOPs got the recognition. Hey, because you look at, you know, I don't have stats for you. I could have looked it up, I guess, but just in general, most people we know aren't totally thrilled to go to work every day. And it doesn't mean that the staff of systems engineering is necessarily thrilled every day. But if you can go and feel like you're cared about and respected and you're making a difference, you're compensated well, you have good benefits, you know, it goes across. The young get accused of a lot, which especially in the workplace is really unfortunate. You know, across all age groups, what do people want? They want good pay and benefits. They want to be able to advance, and they want to like the people they work with. And that's super handy where you have a broader responsibility and things can get really hard. I think, you know, if you're game, any of you that are willing, you know, could you describe what's hard about working at an ESOP, even a very successful mature ESOP? What's hard about this collaborative culture? You know, people listening to the podcast, one of the main goals is that for me doing this is I love amplifying your voices and success stories, but I also have another motive, and that maybe somebody who's considering selling their company to their employees, here's some of their workers and you. Oh, that Matt reminds me of so-and-so. Shane reminds me. Justin, what do you think?
So I think that's a good question. And I think it is important to think about the potential pitfalls or the downsides or the areas to be aware of. And I mentioned before some of the frustration I feel sometimes that everybody gets a say on a decision, and that just drives me to distraction sometimes. So I think there's that. And I also think sometimes we can have too much of an inward focus, and we can, you know, we're pretty comfortable congratulating ourselves and slapping our like, we're pretty great. We're pretty comfortable with that. And I think there's a potential danger there in terms of our focus can become too insular at times, too much on ourselves. So I think that's something to be aware of. And I think that needs to be balanced by a focus on our customers and a focus on the market, what's the market asking for? Because I think sometimes we can focus on, well, what's good for the ESOP? And I want to raise my hand sometimes and say, oh, yeah, okay, I get that that's going to contribute to our share price in theory, but I want to be focused on what are our customers asking for? What's the market asking for? We can't lose sight of that. So I think those are potential dangers. I see Matt nodding his head.
Yeah, it's, I want to hear from Matt. I think it's a great tussle is we have to keep the company healthy so we can take care of the customer, but we have to focus on the customer so that we can take care of the company. And it's a tussle. And so as small business owners constantly evaluating that, you know, somebody in Matt's position is accountable for managing that balance. Matt, do you want to offer some insights from your seat?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's certainly what Justin described, I think is true. You know, that those are things that we wrestle with on a daily basis. And I do think that I would say, though, from my perspective, in terms of things that make it hard versus most other companies, you know, administering the ESOP is like another job completely. It's a totally separate subject area. It's one that I didn't have any experience with before I came here. So it really felt to me like, you know, from a leadership perspective, if you're considering this kind of change, it's a great learning path. It's incredibly interesting. And I think what I know now that I didn't know 10 years ago is kind of amazing to me. But it's been a growth curve and a learning curve, no question. And I think for every kind of leadership team, as you think about that, it's just something to think about. You really got to take it seriously. It's a discipline that you got to come up to speed on. The details really matter. Your partner ecosystem within the ESOP world matters a ton. You know, what's your relationship like with your ESOP attorney, with your trustee, if you have an external trustee, with your board? You know, your board's responsibilities, your board of directors' responsibilities are slightly different in that scenario. So I think there are complexities that come along with it from the leadership side that you don't necessarily see in a privately or publicly held company. But I'll tell you the upside of what you do learn and when you start to really fall in love with kind of what the ESOP brings the company overall, it's just ends up being a great kind of subject to get up to speed on.
It's a lot to be an owner, and it can make for above average as a working person in the world. It can make it a far above average good days. But there are other times where you get challenged and you get pushed and you worry about things more and it's hard to shut it off. And those are at any level, at any tenure. And that can be something that's hard to translate. It's sort of like if you go back to the dog analogy, if you've never owned a dog, you don't know what owning a dog. You can think you know. You can see people walk by with dogs. But unless you've raised a puppy, you don't know what that's actually like. So you can think of other analogies to swing in. And I think that's the fun of these conversations. It certainly is for me. And I've gotten listener feedback. It is, where's that balance? Where's that focus? It's suddenly the horizon is so much broader on what you would think about in a day and be responsible in a day. Not just Matt at your level, but for somebody new in the stockroom, it's completely different that their voice matters and that they can make a difference. And we're curious what your experiences are so that we can leverage those for the greater good. And so these are exactly the kinds of conversations that we're going to have. So it's great. So fun conversation. I want to make sure we stay to our format and give the opportunity. So we ask all of our guests to share their EO, employee ownership, aha moment. So if you've had one, I'd love to have you share it. It's not the first time you heard about employee ownership or when you started to like it. If you had that moment where you're like, ah, aha, you can ponder your experience and we'd love to hear it. And then I want to give you a chance to promote your company. And if you're looking for any new hires, give a shout out as to why they should join you. So let's go back to Shane. Have you had an EO aha moment, Shane?
My EO aha moment was day one. I wasn't even fully employed at Systems Engineering. I hadn't even signed, you know, the dotted line at this point, but I was invited to an employee owners meeting. So this was being held down the road from our office, but being walked into a venue, introduced to, at the time, I would say probably 120 people in a room, and more or less being welcomed into a family was different than any other experience I've had in my life. And then during that meeting, we have a more or less a way of recognizing one another. And we offer people a microphone, right? A microphone to say, hey, job well done. So we had a job well done
session, I don't know, probably went 30 minutes, just people calling out one another, their coworkers, and just telling them how thankful they are for their work, their dedication to the company, right? You don't see that anywhere. I mean, you don't. So that was a huge jumping off point for my career to say, wow, this place is something else. This is different. And it's something I hope we never lose. You know, we're trying to keep that as a focal, as a focus, as we have further, you know, employee owners meetings and we grow as an organization. Geez, Matt, we're probably going to have to dedicate an hour at our next, you know, seeing our growth.
Yeah.
But
yeah, absolutely.
Good problems to have. Appreciate you sharing that, Shane. Justin, have you had an aha moment with employee ownership that you can share with us today?
I think I've had several, and the most recent one, and I have to give Matt and our CFO, Eric Tennyson, a lot of credit for being transparent about our finances on a regular basis. And Eric was explaining how the company has a certain amount of capital, and that capital has been reinvested in a number of creative ways, and that those investments are contributing to our bottom line, which in turn contributes to our share price, which in turn is money in people's retirement accounts. And that was really an aha moment for me, thinking about other businesses where the shareholder or the partners are taking that money home with them every year. And we as employees are taking that money home every year. We're the ones that are benefiting from that big pile of capital. So it's not just the sweat of our brow and our normal business operations. We're also benefiting from the capital. And that snowball is growing every year. And that was my like, wow, this is really something special.
That's great. I really appreciate your sharing that. It's the thing about it being a retirement plan is that unless you're anywhere near retirement, that's probably not on your mind. And what I've tried to do is hear a little bit maybe in your description is if you're early career or mid-career and you have a sense that your personal wealth is building because the company is invested in your wealth growing, that can make coming to work, that can be enough when you start to get your hands around that. And it's very different. Like, okay, they're invested in me. I don't want to sound sunshine and bunny rabbits or Smurfs or Twinkles. It's not it at all. But if you can, that the time when somebody starts to realize, wait a second, there's investments being made on my behalf, not just in my account, but so that account can be healthy and go forward. That can be quite an aha moment, especially for a lot of people who have never really experienced that, like you alluded to at work. So I appreciate your sharing that. Shane?
I mean, it's shocking when, you know, you work so hard, you put so much money aside in your 401k, and this ESOP, this fund, surpasses your 401k. That's a pretty aha moment for a lot of our employee owners here, right? But I just wanted to share, Justin, you're absolutely right. I mean, the financial impacts on our families is key here as well, and certainly helps being part of SE.
That's great. Thanks. Matt, have you had an EO aha moment and one that you came to share with the listeners?
Yeah, I'd say there are two for me. One, you know, I tend not to be like a big kind of pomp and circumstance kind of person. I like to stay under the radar as much as possible. But I'll tell you, when I went up on stage to get my vest, when I became vested, it was one of those moments that I didn't see coming how impactful at all that was going to be. And I got up there and put that thing on, and literally it was, you know, that feeling when some unexpected emotion kind of comes over you. And that I'm still struck talking about it now, still struck by that. Was one of the coolest employment experiences I've ever had in my life, and I didn't see it coming. And the other one was very early on when I got here, which in Shane sort of alluded to in a different context. It's just when we were taking stock of 401k balances versus ESOP balances, and you really start to get an appreciation for how impactful this can be for people's future. And when it's, and that's multi-generational, and it's not to say we're generating the kind of wealth that gets handed down, but that people can retire with more security, with more financial security, affects generations above and below them. And, you know, we just, for me, that's something that is a huge motivator for me, is how much can we set people up for that next phase of their life? And so those are the two big ones for me.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I appreciate all of you sharing those, because it is kind of a personal personal experience. So I want to do a final round with people who are listening. You have been doing incredibly well and growing. So I'm going to take a wild guess that you might be looking for now or soon some fellow owners. So I want you to take the opportunity to, I want to try to help your recruiting talent acquisition crew. What's great about working at Systems Engineering that you haven't already shared, something that you feel like we might have missed that you want to add in, maybe speaking directly to some potential future co-owners, why should they join you at Systems Engineering? I'll go back to Shane to kick us off.
Yeah, sure. So I think our company, we distinguish ourselves. We offer this unique approach as an employee-owned organization, but also offering, you know, both excellence in technology solutions and a place where we can foster both a rewarding career and with a collaborative culture. I mean, I think it truly sets us apart. And every team member, right, is, you know, vested in the journey and the success of one another. That's my little piece there.
That says a lot. Justin?
If you're looking for a place where you can make a difference, Systems Engineering is a place like that. There is a very open environment internally that rewards hard work and diligence and smarts. And if you are looking for an environment where you can advance, you know, based on your hard work and your smarts, Systems Engineering will provide you with an environment where you're supported by your peers. And nobody's going to get in your way if you're looking for improvements and advancements. There's a real openness to that type of engagement, that type of advancement.
Thank you. Matt?
I guess I would say it's, you know, for me, I look at this as a place where all the cultural stuff we talked about is true and delivers, but that in and of itself doesn't make a company. You also have to be good at what you do. And I'll tell you, we believe we have the best at what we do. And so if you're looking for a place where you can get that cultural kind of cup filled and also be challenged at the highest level, we're delivering the same solutions that you're going to find in New York City, Boston, Singapore. It doesn't matter. We're delivering with the same level of engineering and professionalism that those other places have. But you also get that really, what we think is a very fulfilling employee experience and one that we're really focused on. So we sort of think you can have your cake and eat it too. You can be really nice people and you can be aggressive growth on the growth front and you can give people really everything they're looking for in their career. And that's what we're trying to do.
That's great. I really appreciate it. Well, I appreciate at a busy company, you're taking three of you, taking the time to share your thoughts with the Owner to Owner podcast listeners. Again, I'm Jesse Tyler. We do this for the EO Podcast Network to amplify the daily voices of ownership and hopefully inspire some growth in the employee ownership company count that NCEO publishes. So I'd like to finish with, if you can, for any listeners, buy employee owned. I'm going to go up to a co-op after work today. I'm going to buy some Bob's Red Mill. I'm going to buy some other employee-owned. I buy those first. I want you to do the same. I wish for that. So buy, eat, work employee-owned. And with today's guests, elevate your IT infrastructure with people who own the business. And think ownership. You can think trust. You can think care and camaraderie. So again, appreciate it to our guests and our listeners. And we'll look forward to a future episode. Thank you very much.
We'd love to hear from you. You can find us on Facebook at EO Podcast Network and on Twitter at ESOP Podcast. This podcast has been produced by Brett Kiesling for the EO Podcast Network. Original music composed by Max Kiesling. Branding and marketing by Bitsy Plus Design. And I'm Bitsy McCann.